The NRQ Morning Show.
Everyone pay attention.
Have your attention, please.
With Rock and Emma.
Get up now. Right now.
Somebody get me some coffee.
I was just entertaining the people on the morning drive.
Only on Alternative 103.7 KNRQ.
Alternative 103.7 KNRQ. Good Monday morning. It's the NRQ Morning Show. I'm rocking. That's Emma.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, man?
Oh, man, nothing. It's already Monday, huh?
Monday.
That what's happening?
That is.
Oh, okay.
Walking into work with some meetings on the schedule already.
Yeah.
Thanks, Emma.
My bad. I mean, really. Sorry for being human.
Sorry. Players FM?
Sorry, dude. I made a mistake. I thought we talked about it, but no, we got to talk about it again.
We got to talk about the conversation.
Let's talk about that, and then we'll talk about that maybe a little bit too.
Lots of football on this weekend. Did you watch any of the games? Did you red zone it up?
I did. I was all sorts of red zone yesterday.
I didn't hit the red zone until after the Eagles game. Then red zone the remainder of the day, which kind of unfortunate considering the afternoon schedule was only like 3 or 4 games, so there wasn't a whole lot for red zone to flip back and forth to, but
I will say I was only seeing red by the end of the Charger game.
Is that right?
That's all I saw was red. Not only because the Chiefs were there, but because we decided to have a lead the whole game, all throughout the game. And then I'm going to let them tie it up. Yeah. You know what,
we'll
you guys?
Do overtime.
I feel bad. Sorry, did you guys want to win this? I thought you wanted to. Okay. No, sorry. Right through here, Chiefs. Why don't we just go ahead and let you take the win? All right, then. No problem. Thanks for coming. What are you doing? Got you guys? Oh, man. So it's good to be back. Go Chargers. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Team that keeps on keeping on.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
Eagles had a pretty solid win yesterday. Yep. Looked real good with Carson Wentz out there making his debut.
Saw that.
Even the Cowboys, as much as it pains me to say it, looked pretty good and solid offensively without Tony Romo. Shocker.
Right. Weird.
Could it be that Tony Romo has actually been the cause of your guys' terrible offense all this time? Could that be?
No. He didn't even show up. They're like, weird.
Look at that. We almost won. Look at that. Like, we're really good.
You guys, did you see that?
This dude's a rookie. This is literally his first time catching some NFL action.
I love that, too. The idea that they go back in the locker room like, what? Was that us, you guys? We were on fire. Were you feeling it? I was feeling it.
Man.
Woo!
Yeah, that Dak Prescott kid is going to be a problem in this league. He is super, super talented.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
And it looked like Russell Wilson rolled up on his ankle last night, so it looks like he might be down for a couple of weeks. Lots of good NFL action that went down over the weekend. And, of course, Ducks, Saturday.
Go Ducks.
Handling Virginia, late game.
Yeah, definitely. When it first started, I was a little nervous because we definitely should have won the way we did. But I was like, okay, come on, let's get there.
These points racked up.
Exactly, because if anything, pace is quick pace is what helps the Ducks. So if we can keep that going, then we can, continue to possibly have a good season.
Devin Allen looked real strong coming off the Olympics, back out there catching some action.
Mm-hmm.
Rolls-Royce Freeman looking good. Dakota Prukop was out there throwing the ball real nice.
Yeah, not too bad.
Awesome weekend of football, Em, and kind of starts to feel like fall's back when you start to get the football going. You know
definitely,
what I mean?
Definitely.
And then the 40-degree temperature when you wake up in the morning time. Doesn't hurt.
The drive-in is a little cooler. You can definitely tell, certainly, right away in the morning that the season's changing. So
on the way, we got the new one from Fanagram. We've got Foo Fighters and news and sports next.
He looks like he broke his yoga mat, and she looks like she'll beat you up.
I don't really want any part of that. That sounds like pure nonsense to me.
It's Rock and Emma.
I've heard about you.
The NRQ Morning Show.
We could just try it.
On Alternative 103.7 KNRQ.
Candy corn aficionados, if you will. Got some good news for you because Brock's just released a new type of candy corn based on brunch.
It's about time. They've been making candy corn the same one since, well I guess they
since
only...
Salem Witch
they stopped making them in the 70s, I think, and now they just recycle them all. They're all... They're
same
none of them. Yeah, none of them are new, guys.
Guys, you still got a lot of inventory left to move.
So these guys finally went back to work, huh?
Yeah, man. Break's over.
Okay, break is over, guys.
It's called Brunch Favorites, and instead of the usual candy corn taste, there are three different flavors: French toast and maple syrup, waffles and strawberries,
what?
And chocolate chip pancakes.
Gross.
Only available for a limited time at Target, so you better rush out and go grab them right now.
Maybe they should have done the only a limited time for the first ones. Gotten rid of the candy corn first, guys.
You know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to go buy a couple bags of this and make this the Halloween candy I hand out to the trick-or-treaters, and then nobody will take none, and they'll leave me alone this year.
Or they'll be a hit.
And there could be a hit.
You're going to totally screw yourself
over. It could
over
be a hit, and in which case that would be disastrous because I'm really hoping I could eat whatever is left over.
It was an epic fail.
Did not go according to plan.
Didn't you already come here?
Interesting.
Are those your friends? I don't... Your parents can't come. Why are your parents there?
Are you in a different costume now?
That's weird.
Wait. Let's do sports.
You just took your hat off. I could tell.
Nice try. Oregon was slow out the gates for the second week in a row, needing time to establish the tempo on offense and solve a Virginia rushing attack that found a couple holes early on. But after the Cavs tied at 6-6 late in the first quarter, the Ducks took command just as they did midway through the first half of the opener against UC Davis. Dakota Prukop finished 21-31 with 331 yards and three touchdowns. And a 189.4 passer rating, which is pretty good. Also, he generally seemed a little bit more comfortable in his second appearance for the Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
Royce Freeman rushed 21 times for 207 yards and two TDs, while Devin Allen caught four passes for 141 yards and a 35.3 yard average.
Nice.
Defense also looked pretty good. Had six sacks on total for the evening, so the defense looked like they're cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Helfrich looks like he's... doing some
still
things
there.
Right over there.
Yeah, he's still there.
He's still there.
Looks like he's still there, yeah.
How you feel?
I mean, look, the Ducks are looking good, but like we haven't gotten really that far into it. It's not that I think he's terrible. I just don't have a lot of confidence in him. Same thing with, I mean, it's similar to how I feel about Rivers. It's like, well, at least we got a placeholder, and until he's like an epic fail, then I won't get too upset. But now that we're at the time where after Chip has gone and all of the recruiting classes have kind of gone, this is all now his, I guess, team.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me nervous because I don't have all the faith in the world in him. So right now, I'm glad we got a win, but I'm not going to give him too much kudos on that. You know what I mean?
To be fair, right now we are 2-0. It's a very early 2-0. Haven't seen our toughest opponents yet on the schedule.
We better be 2-0 at this point.
Yeah, we are 2-0 right now. You did mention Chip. He will make his NFL debut with the Niners tonight.
Not his
NFL debut overall, but his new job as the Niners head coach.
Cool.
That happens tonight, Monday Night Football, in the second game of the Monday Night Football doubleheader. Ducks are actually on the road this week. They're in Nebraska on Saturday. No game at Autzen this weekend. Coming up, we got your tease.
You're listening to Rock and Emma.
Yakety yak!
Hey, at least one of them's funny. We're not sure which one that is, but...
might be easier if they were in jail.
Mornings on Alternative 103.7 KNRQ.
103.7 KNRQ.
We're going to start here with the top 10 albums in the country now that it is Monday. Travis Scott's new album, Birds in the Trap, Sing McKnight, sold 88,000 copies in its first week. It's good enough to debut at number one on the Billboard 200. It's the fifth Apple iTunes exclusive to top the chart so far this year. And A Day to Remember's album Bad Vibrations debuted at number two with $67,000 sold. Here's this week's top 10. We've got number three, Drake Views. The Suicide Squad soundtrack sits at four. And the Florida Georgia Line album Dig Your Roots came in at five. Barbra Streisand's album sits at six. 21 Pilots' Blurry Face still in the top 10 at number seven. Rihanna at eight. Beyonce at nine. And Frank Ocean at 10.
All right.
Tom Hanks is back on top of the box office in Clint Eastwood's latest flick, Sully. Took in $35.5 million over the weekend, easily beating the new thriller When the Bow Breaks. I'm really looking forward to seeing Sully. Are you going to watch that?
No.
You know?
No.
What?
I've said it before. I just don't think this is a story that needed it. And I know people are going to think I'm going to ask for it, but it's not a story that needed a movie.
Well, it's...
it happens... and I get that he saved the lives.
It's not about
great...
the landing on the Hudson, though. It's about all the stuff that
That's
happened
what you were
afterwards,
telling me.
Which makes me really, because I never saw any of that coming. which I guess is why he took the role as well. Because we only, you know, we got to celebrate him. We're like, hey, Sully, that guy, that was cool. Way to land on the Huts. And I always thought, like, maybe he's just shy because he's not really eating it up. Like, he's not, like, basking. And I thought maybe he's just real humble. But it was because he was also getting grilled in the background. So the beginning, I think it shows the whole landing on the Hudson, but then the rest of the movie is about what
the
happened
aftermath.
That no one ever knew about. I find that interesting, but
that I might watch on Netflix or something at one point, but it's not anything I'm in a rush to go out and see right now.
Okay. Well, I kind of thought the same thing too when I first heard about it. I thought, well, how long can they make that? It was a pretty quick, awesome, but quick decision landing. So I'm like, how long can you stretch that out? But
correct
then,
to me, like
when I heard what it was really about, then it made more sense.
When they first started talking about it, I thought that they were going to be doing what they did with Titanic, where they take like a 2-minute real life event and turn it into a 4 or 5 hour movie where like 98% of it is fictitious and they just made it to sell tickets.
Yeah, I mean, for a movie where it, I mean, and I know the Titanic is a big story. But an intermission in a movie better have a real good reason for that.
Not just Kate Winslet's boobs.
I was not okay with that. Don't Breathe came in at 3. Suicide Squad at number 4 still. On both lists, actually. Albums, the Suicide Squad soundtrack is at 4 on the album list, but the movie is still at 4. And the theaters, it's up to $307.4 million in its 6th week domestically. Do you know what it
is? Over 700 globally.
There it is. The Wildlife, new at number 5. Cuba and the Two Strings came in at number 6. Pete's Dragon at 7. Bad Moms at 8. Hell or High Water came in at 9. And Sausage Party came in at number 10. Speaking of Sully, I found out Tom Hanks is not really into watching his own movies like Shia LaBeouf. He's one of the world's biggest stars. He's proud of his work, but he doesn't spend time watching his past movies, including Big, Philadelphia, and Forrest Gump, Castaway. He goes, no, I don't. I think that's a horrible mistake because you never learn what to do. You only sort of learn what not to do. And the thing about looking at old movies is that they don't change. And he also went in to tell the story about meeting Sully. He recalled meeting Sullenberger just weeks after the dramatic landing. And critics are already talking about, of course, Oscar-worthy performance from Hanks, but he admitted it was a challenge to get the role right after speaking to Sullenberger in more detail about what happened that day because he was surprised that so much happened. He said, and also he was really curious to talk to him about the exact landing, like how what he was thinking and how he felt. And he said essentially his body and his muscle memory and the pressure of his ears sensed the rate of descent. It sensed the angle of flight, he said. It sensed the airspeed. None of this stuff required him to look at the gauge or a number or an instrument panel to see what was going on. He saw it and he felt it. And there was a moment where he realized this plane is not going to make it back to LaGuardia. It's not going to be able to land at Teterboro or whatever.
Teterboro.
Yeah. And there's no way we're making it to Newark. Is what he thought right before he did that. Sully is in theaters everywhere. So I am curious. I'll see it for us.
All right.
I'll let you know. I do need your help on this one, though. And I guess I'm going to have to get his name down because Joe Manganiello.
Manganiello.
Go. Oh, is that over?
I've heard it say Manganiello and Manganiello. I like Manganiello. Okay. I've never heard him say his own last name, so I can't.
Would he just do that for us, please?
That'd be great.
That would be fantastic.
It would solve a lot of mystery floating around.
Well, this guy from True Blood and Magic Mike and also Mr. Sofia Vergara.
Apparently, too, he also, I guess, was Flash Gordon back in the original Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire movies, the Sam Raimi movies. He played Flash.
Oh.
Not Flash Gordon, Flash Thompson. Flash Gordon is the 80s superhero. Flash Thompson, the dude that went on to play Venom.
Gotcha. That made it such a big difference for me. No,
which is crazy because he looks super old. But then again, you think about Tobey Maguire playing Peter Parker. It was like, oh, Tobey Maguire was like in his 30s playing an 18-year-old.
Way to go, sport.
Tight.
So I guess this guy's going to be Deathstroke, the lethal villain. It was announced by DC Entertainment president and chief creator officer Jeff Johns, right?
Yep.
Johnson. Johns. The character, deadly mercenary and assassin whose real name is Slade Wilson, was tangled with the Caped Crusader several times over the years. Apparently even kicking some serious ass in issues number 8 and 9. The story arc in Deathstroke issues 8 and 9. Does that mean anything to you?
If it's the original Deathstroke, probably not because that's from the 70s, maybe even 80s.
Mm, okay. Well, let's see. It's not clear if Deathstroke and Manganiello will be either the solo Batman film or in Justice League, which is set to come out next year. But he did change his Twitter background, or I guess background photo, to Deathstroke. And he wrote on Facebook, "It's on." So, Joe Manganiello.
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 So much easier to just say.
Manganiello. I think we should just go ahead and coin.
Joey M.
Sounds like he's in third grade. Joey M, can you please come to the office, please? Joey M. Steve Harvey met his doppelganger, I guess, on, let's see here, Family Feud. Did you see this picture real fast? Let me pull it up. Check this out. All right. I'm going to just play the...
What do you do, sir? I am a full-time pastor, Steve. I've been pastor now. I just celebrated 17 years as a full-time pastor.
Look at from the side, too. Look at their mustaches.
Yeah, twins.
And I love what I do. But every single day of my life, people come up to me and call me Steve Harvey.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't even have your money. I mean, I think I should get compensated or something. I mean, don't you think? I mean, I have to.
The look on his face is great.
No, don't go there. Don't go there.
Well, I was... But I'll tell you something, Pastor. It ain't a bad deal, man. No. If I had somebody, man, you look like me. Damn. I'm actually looking at him going, hey, actually, you know, I really hate to say this. I hate to say this, but I'm an honest guy. You actually a little better looking than I am.
Yeah. It's a cute exchange, but yeah, he does look very similar to him. So I thought that was cute. Let's see here.
Steve meets Steve.
Yeah, I love Steve Harvey. He's great. Let's see here. Oh, yeah. Dr. Phil has the JonBenet Ramsey interview on today with her.
The Dateline one was good.
That was really good.
Two
I was
hours.
Just going to ask you if you saw that.
Pretty solid.
Yeah, I liked it.
What's with the brother, though, right?
Man, that's what I'm
he's
saying.
He's watching, doing the surreal. Like, and I get that he's a kid, but he did not seem to realize the situation that was at hand, and he was awfully smiling and fidgety. And
I'm glad you said that, because that's why this...
And apparently it was never shown before until that Dateline special.
Exactly. That's really intriguing. And I've been telling you this, but I've always had this thing about her brother, because at the time he was about 9. The thing that catches me with the evidence, I guess, it's a weird turn of events, because she was found at the house. They say it was an intruder, but she was still in the basement. Then there was that...
Weapon was made with stuff that was found in the house.
And the note that was left was not only from the pad of paper and pen there, but also was strangely long.
The amount that they were asking for was right around the same amount he had just gotten for his Christmas bonus
really,
a couple days earlier.
Really weird. So, I'm really curious to see what Dr. Phil gets out of him. But this whole on that note of, don't you know how serious this is? In the preview, and you can look it up too, Dr. Phil's running down the whole, did you kill, and they found her like this and that, and just gory details. And he's got the weirdest look on his face. And if it's not editing putting it together, then this guy's a psychopath, because he has this, like, weird, amused look on his face. Like, I'm trying to do it like this. Like, he's smiling. Like, he's...
Maybe it's just an awkward reaction, maybe?
I don't know. It's a weird face to have when they're talking about your little sister being all sorts of mangled. It was weird. So I'm curious about that. That's on today. But that Dateline special was really good. I'm left with two options. Either the brother, obviously. But if it was an intruder, the plan was probably to get in and get out with her, and something went wrong. They were probably waiting while their parents and stuff, they were gone, and they came back. So I feel like they were waiting inside the house.
There's also, too, the 911 dispatcher who said she very distinctly heard a third faint voice who happened to be another grown man. It wasn't the voice of a child. It was another voice of a man. So it means there was JonBenet's dad, some mysterious man, and Patsy all in the room when she was on the phone with 911.
From what I understood, it was the third voice was faint, and it couldn't be. I thought it was just a faint voice. That was proof that it was. I mean, it just seemed like it was the little boy, because it was they had two distinct voices, adult voices, but then there was another faint voice.
Yeah,
in the background.
But she said that she could tell, even though it was faint, it still didn't sound like a voice of a child. It sounded like the voice of a man.
I missed that part. I heard the exact opposite.
You should go back and rewatch that.
Why is it always me? Maybe you should too. Because it's not like, oh, well, you I heard mean, that wrong, obviously, because I hear everything right. Why don't we, wouldn't it be fair to say, huh, that's weird.
We should.
I thought.
We should both revisit that clip.
Maybe we should.
I have a feeling I'll be right, but we'll do it. We'll find out together.
I'll be able to say, maybe you should go rewatch
say
that.
Say, I told you so.
Okay. Well, maybe you should go rewatch that.
Right to your face.
All right. Marshawn Lynch is going to be running wild with Bear Grylls. That could get interesting.
That could.
Try to keep up, Bear Grylls. And then, of course, a lot of football. And
I could just imagine him saying, I thought you was about that action, boss.
That'd be great.
Right?
That's coming up.
You know, they say 6 in the morning is too early to get stoned.
Is that marijuana?
Clearly, the memo really hadn't been passed on to Rock and Emma.
Oh, that makes sense.
It's the NRQ Morning Show.
The
on Alternative 103.7, KNRQ. KNRQ.
Man's facing charges after authorities say he entered a home and tried to bite the residents, as well as deputies who responded.
A biter, huh?
Yeah, man. The Oregonian reports the homeowner and his 14-year-old son were holding the 25-year-old man down on Wednesday when a Marion County Sheriff's Office deputy arrived and called for backup. Deputies handcuffed the man after he tried to bite him. Authorities say the 25-year-old was trying to poke the man and his son with a screwdriver and a torch.
These are very random ways of attack.
Man, it's like a very bad version of Home Alone.
You don't know what is coming.
Everybody's home. The teen used a power grinder.
Why does this guy have broken ornaments?
The teen used the power grinder to hold the man off. Both the 14-year-old and his dad did get bit and bruised. Paramedics sedated the man, and he was booked into jail upon his release from the hospital. And authorities suspect the man was on bath salts or some kind of
flocka,
narcotic.
Probably doing the flocka.
Yeah, man. Bath salts will get you. Mm-hmm. They're for bathing. Not nose candy.
Consuming in any way.
What'd you go see Spider for?
Or just maybe you shouldn't take baths because I think you're using the stuff wrong.
All wrong.
All wrong.
I wish someone would leave a filthy, disease-infested hypodermic needle lying around at the Target near me. That's
I'm
for
sorry,
sure.
Sorry, what? No.
A woman called, named Carla Garrison from Anderson, South Carolina. She went to a Target back in May of 2014 when her 8-year-old daughter picked up a random hypodermic needle someone had left laying in the parking lot.
Target, not Walmart, huh?
Yeah, man.
Well, that's surprising.
So Carla swatted it out of her hand, but in the process, the needle jabbed her in the palm of her hand.
Oh, my God.
So Carla got taken to the hospital and was put on medicine to prevent her from getting HIV and hepatitis. And either it worked or the person who'd used the needle before was clean because Carla hadn't contracted any diseases. But she did wind up suing Target when they wouldn't cover her medical bills. She offered to settle for $12,000. They offered her $750, so she took them to court. And on Thursday, a jury awarded her $4.6 million.
And this was in the store or outside?
Outside. And Target, I would think, is definitely going to appeal that because it's not Target's fault that some random customer left a needle in their parking lot.
Yeah.
Maybe their cleaning crew hadn't been out yet that day to clean up the parking lot. Secondly, Target didn't go out there and take the chick's hand and slam it onto the needle. The dumbass broad slapped the needle and stabbed herself.
She's the one who did it. And it was outside the store.
You could have just said, no, little Timmy, put it down. But instead, you tried to be big badass mom and slap it out of his hand and shanked yourself.
Or rightfully, I totally understand, panicked and, you know, quickly
it
tried
been
to
a panic.
But, yeah. But you're not wrong in that I don't think Target planted syringes
this
out.
This was all the, just...
I'm surprised it happened at Target and this hasn't happened at Walmart yet. That's what I'm surprised about.
I'm really surprised. Get that from your previous comment.
Well, I'm glad you heard me. I'm just really surprised that this hasn't happened elsewhere before, especially, I mean, a syringe in Target's parking lot doesn't... It's a little more surprising.
See, it sounds like you're judging Walmart.
No, I thought we were on the same page in terms of the stories we get about Walmart. I thought maybe you were feeling the same way I was. Like I had to double check to make sure we were in the right parking lot. But unfortunately, I'm not surprised that they awarded her money. I hope they do take it back to court. But you know that lawsuits that are way more frivolous than this end up winning.
Too. Man,
yeah,
which is shameful.
Because that could have been planted. You could just do that and be like,
right?
Look.
It takes me back to my previous statement. I wish someone would leave a filthy, disease-infested hypodermic needle lying around.
That's we're going back to that. I got that from your previous comment. But I'm still not sure if that's what you want. Because you don't, it doesn't have to be dirty.
It could be clean, yeah. It could be clean.
And you know, in this case, you don't even have to stumble upon it. Apparently, you can bring it with you and then say, it was already here and my kid almost died. and I saved the day, and now it's your fault. Pay up.
Cut that check.
Cut that check. You want to do sports?
All right.
All right.
Pittsburgh Steelers running back D'Angelo Williams is putting a restaurant on blast whose workers called him out on social media for not tipping, saying point blank that they sucked at their jobs. This all started when the bartender at the restaurant went to Facebook and wrote, quote, "Just now at work, I had D'Angelo Williams come in and I waited on while tending bar. His check was $128.25. He left me $125 with no tip, but 75 cents. So there you go, Steelers fans. Your running back is cheap as S, SMH, but she spelt Steelers incorrectly. She spelt it steal, as in I'm stealing something, not steal, as in the middle.
Did she say that she did that on purpose because it's about money?
Yeah, that's where I thought she was going, but no, I just think it's one of those typos, those unfortunate typos. Trying to make a point.
Too bad she could have got right back on there.
Right. Williams found out about the social media shaming and lashed back, claiming that the service was terrible and a 75-cent tip was being too generous. He said, quote, "I tried to leave exact change but couldn't. I waited on my food for over an hour and a half." For the record, the waitress claims he was only there for 45 minutes. So what was allegedly that bad? For starters, quote, she never asked for refills. But what really upset him was, quote, "I ordered chicken and shrimp in my pasta. They put it on my salad." When he pointed out the mistake, quote, "They took it back and removed it from the salad and put it in my pasta, leaving a shrimp tail in the salad."
I mean, they really, you got to be careful when you hit up social media and be like, well, this guy, what a jerk. Well, you just opened the door because now everyone else is going to
know
get
how
his
terrible
side of the story. Yeah.
Williams says, quote, "Terrible service means terrible tip. I used to wait tables and used to be a bag boy, so I know what I'm doing here."
Yeah, well, you get what you give.
Yeah, man. Don't just assume because some ballers in there that you're automatically able to get by on mediocre service and still collect a generous tip.
And call me crazy, but I feel like he might have more people paying attention to his post.
Yes, a little bit more, I would assume.
Maybe, I don't know.
Just saying.
Kind of.
Mornings on Alternative 103.7 KNRQ.
Filled with tons of music,
news, sports,
celebrity sleaze, music news, and more.
Yep, including these disasters with names.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
It's Rock and Emma in the morning
on Alternative 103.7 KNRQ.
I walked into this surprising news. Unfortunately, Alexis Arquette passed away yesterday morning, surrounded by family and friends at the age of 49. Alexis's brother, Richmond Arquette, said Alexis died at 12:32 a.m. while listening to David Bowie's Starman. Besides being the sibling of David and Patricia Arquette, Alexis was known for her roles in Pulp Fiction and, my favorite, The Wedding Singer, as well as being a champion for trans rights. But if you love The Wedding Singer, then
give me time.
She's the one that kept getting up and singing the same song over and over again. Do you really want
to
me?
The Karma Chameleon Cat.
Like the George
Boy
Michael?
George.
Boy George. Yeah.
Boy George.
There's Peter Dante. Yeah. This is just every single time she gets up.
I have day.
Every time it ends. And
Buscemi.
Yeah, and if you Buscemi's great.
Steve Buscemi.
So, yeah, basically, if you haven't seen The Wedding Singer.
What are you doing with life, for starters?
Live life right, dude. And second, basically, Alexis Arquette's supposed to be the one that handles the stage when Adam Sandler gets off to take a break, but then she only knows that one song.
Arguably.
Over and over again.
Wedding Singer could be the last great Adam Sandler movie he made before that terrible stretch he was on.
I don't know what order they all came in, but the whole stretch in the 90s is great.
Yeah.
Wedding Singer, Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison.
And that's what I'm saying. I think Wedding Singer was the last one that he really did.
I'm not sure.
In
that era. We'll have to look up the dates because Big Daddy, I think, was later than that. We'll have to see what order. But I agree with
that
you.
That era of his movies, for sure.
Yeah. I'm thinking Big Daddy was at the end of that run.
I thought this was the one that ended it out, and then he did the other one with Drew Barrymore after this.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Went
51st Dates, yeah, I think so. I think was the one that came
after
Wedding Singer.
I'm thinking of
Wedding Singer. Big Daddy's Home, I think, might have came out right before or right after Wedding Singer, but I feel like both Drew Barrymore movies were very close together in as far as release goes. And it's crazy about Patricia because...
1998. Sorry, Wedding Singer, 1998, and Big Daddy was 99.
Okay.
So right after that.
Yeah, so that was towards the end of the awesome Sandler flicks, in my opinion. But her brother David just turned 45 on Friday.
Yeah.
So that's crazy, man.
Yeah, she was a little bit older than him. I guess she's been battling an illness, but that's all the info released at this time. So I'll have to tell you more when I find out. Real sad. 49 years old. Tupac's estate is pissed. Yet another person is trying to take advantage of his art and plans to block the sale of his handwritten lyrics to Catchin' Feelings. Pac's estate claims managers and employees had a fire sale after the rapper's death, selling off tons of his personal property, but says it is the rightful owner of all his lyrics and written creations because... he never sold any of them. Memorabilia comments or company Moments in Time plans to sell the original lyric sheet on September 13th, which is tomorrow, the 20th anniversary of Pac's death. The estate says it rewards people for unknowingly getting Tupac's stuff and returning it, but it aggressively pursues those who purposely try to exploit his memory. Translation, there's a lawsuit coming.
All right.
Do you have the lyrics still, or are you going to send them back, or what are you going to do?
I don't have them. I sold them already.
Sorry. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. Got it, buddy. No problem. Nothing to see here, guys.
Keep it moving.
Move along. Nick Cannon is through with marriage, he says, period. And he's got a role model who influenced his thinking on this. Cinderella.
Okay.
He says, quote, marriage messes everything up. It takes the fairy tale out of it. Cinderella didn't get married. She just lived happily ever after. I don't know what Cinderella he was watching, but that means happily ever after is because she got married. Cinderella gets married at the end, spoiler alert. I don't know if people don't know that.
Did they have the actual ceremony, though, or was it just insinuated? Was it just implied?
She got married.
Did she?
Do you not know
I don't.
The movie Cinderella? Oh, my God.
Legitimate. Sorry, I'm not in about that happily, princess life. I apologize.
Happily ever after. It's not a new movie. It's not a new story.
I'm aware, but so it's not ever been like, you know what?
So you and Nick Cannon didn't know that.
Like I should be watching Cinderella. I've never had that mood. I apologize.
I didn't. You don't have to see the movie to know that.
I'm not familiar with the story. It's got a chick that sleeps. She gets kissed. No, that's not even right. See?
That's the goal at the end of every Disney princess movie is... happily ever after. She gets married.
Me, happily ever after could be a fat reefer stick and a really good steak.
True. With Nick Cannon, though, if we could get back to this guy's problem, because that doesn't surprise me. And, I mean, I could act shocked longer, but it doesn't really surprise me that you're unclear as to the end of this.
Honest to God, I'm not.
But this guy, he...
you should know better. He's at least got kids. He's probably
ready. If you're going to step out and say, you know what? You know why I think this way? It's because of Cinderella. They're like, does anyone want to step forward and tell them one of the oldest stories in time that everyone knows except rock?
I'm right there with you, Nick.
If you prefer the Brothers Grimm version, she gets married in that one, too. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. Good to know. Facts.
Happily apparently. Ever after. I love that. Now, I don't know what version he's talking about, but I cannot find one that is actually Cinderella where she does not get married. There's a twist. Whole lot of twists in there, guys.
It exists somewhere. Might only be in Nick Cannon's head, but there is where it exists.
Oh, man, that guy. It looks like the Full House home in San Francisco is back on the market, and it could be yours if you're willing to rent it for $13,950 each month, that is. It's a Victorian home. It's shown during the show's theme song, Everywhere You Look. Sold for $4 million in July. According to the listing, the three-bedroom home located at 1709 Broderick Street is available immediately for tenants. Originally constructed in 1883, this Charles Lewis Hinkle home is one of the city's finest examples of Victorian architecture. And it's
love a good Charles Hinkle.
Charles Lewis Hinkle home.
Charles Lewis Hinkle home.
Those are the only homes I like.
It's the only one getting my money.
Don't give me a knockoff, Charles Lewis.
That ain't
Lewis
a CLH.
Hinkle home.
I don't want it.
Right? That's the way I live. 2,985 square foot home also features 3.5 bathrooms and a garage. It's also one block away from one of the city's most popular streets. In the past, though, neighbors have complained in the area that everywhere you look, if you will, you find tons of 80s sitcom fans and Netflix reboot fans staring at the house or walking around your neighborhood. So
yeah, I don't know who's willing to live that life. You know what I mean? It's going to be very hard for whoever that future tenant is.
Right. I would think that no matter how much you used to love the show or you like the Netflix reboot,
which is questionable,
I'm not sure if that would be worth it, right?
You're listening to Rock and Emma.
Ruined everything.
Oh, come on. Everything's not ruined.
Guys, everything's ruined.
Hey, at least one of them's funny. We're not sure which one that is, but...
Rock and Emma. Mornings on Alternative
103.7.
103.7
KNRQ. You know, I love coming up with multi-million dollar ideas, especially while recreating.
Right, and then we give them away on the air.
And that's about to happen right now. It's so if you're out there listening...
There are giveaways, guys.
This is a multi-million dollar idea.
Okay.
Let's capitalize on this pumpkin spice trend.
Oh, no.
Maybe get Al's homeboy Spider involved.
Right.
Pumpkin spice condoms. Right?
Who's with me? Right? Am I right?
Get
in line.
And then if you get lambskin pumpkin spice condoms, it's like a pumpkin spice gyro.
You'll have to try that out and let me know how that goes.
Multi-million dollar ideas.
Is that on the packaging out front? Is that what it says out
front?
Even
came up with a name. Mm. Pumpkin spice prophylactics. It just falls off the tongue.
It sounds like medication you need.
I mean, it is a needed medical device.
It hasn't
happened yet. Everybody loves pumpkin spice.
It's very festive of you.
Right.
I like that you're really getting there. I mean,
Trojan. Durex, whoever, holler at your boy. I got these all day.
Huh, there's some potential here.
That's what I'm thinking.
I want to help you name some stuff. Let's put that on the back burner.
Pumpkin spice condoms.
Did that hit you on the way back?
No, this was yesterday.
Oh, man, you've been waiting all day to say that.
Oh, I have. I actually put it in my phone. Like, I notepadded it and everything. I was like, no.
It'd be so funny.
Million dollar idea right here.
It'd be funny if
it's got a whole bunch of dollar signs after it.
So you actually send that or something? Like, what the hell is Rock sending me a text that says...
I was going to, but I was like, this would leave too many questions, so I'll just table it for tomorrow morning.
That's awesome. That's a good idea.
I thought so. We got to get this thing going.
Look, there's pumpkin spice everything. Why wouldn't we do that?
Right.
Makes sense.
Somebody gets it.
There's the lube. There's all sorts of stuff.
If you woke up to a hangover, but didn't really drink the night before, you must be listening to Rock and Emma.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out.
The NRQ Morning Show on Alternative 103.7 KNRQ.
If everyone's constantly sending nude photos to everyone else, how come no one ever sends them to me?
Is that are we going to sports now, or is that the only...
got more to say to you people. According to a new survey, the average woman has sent nude photos to 7 people. 1 in 4 of them have sent nude photos to someone they met online before they'd even met in person.
Uh-oh.
And 2/3 of those women say they never even wound up getting together with the person. Somebody came out on the bad end of that stick.
Putting yourself out there much?
They are worried... rightfully so, about having all these nude photos floating around in the world. Not really, according to femalefirst.org, apparently.
Not at all, huh?
The majority of women say they're not really worried about whether their photos end up with the individual or if they make their way elsewhere.
Well, it's probably good. If you post them, you shouldn't care that much.
Because they will get out.
Because it's out.
That's happening.
Is this where you give your phone number, or?
No. I should, but
how
I'm
are you
gonna
get all
right?
the endless amount of naked pictures?
I don't need my inbox full of D-pics.
You're gonna be bombarded with some really nasty pictures.
I know. That's why I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and just leave my number safe with me.
Well,
feel free to call 684-0979. I'll bless you off air if you wanna.
I see. See, I thought
send me some naked pictures.
When we opened the story, I thought that we were going to end with a way for them to send.
This story is nothing more than a solicitation for me to get your sex.
I don't even think that there's a story.
Not at all.
I will say that right now.
I'm calling very much fact.
Bunk on this. I found you out.
Mystery solved.
Damn it! Sorry.
Already got an update on the D'Angelo Williams story we just brought you last hour. The update came out about 35 minutes or so ago, according to TMZ Sports. They spoke with Jimmy Marcos. the co-owner of Lido Restaurant in Maryland, who tells TMZ Sports D'Angelo server's getting terminated over handling that tip situation.
Oh, see, you can't just go
right
shooting off on social media.
Long story short, TMZ was told the restaurant policy is, quote, the customer is always right, and tipping is a reflection of the service, not a mandatory thing.
Yeah, and like we said before, real dumb to open that can of worms, because then
you hear his side.
He's got thousands and thousands and thousands of people reading how terrible you are at your job, including your employer.
Marcos told TMZ, quote, we were in the wrong. He also has a message for Mr. D'Angelo Williams. He said, quote, I want to offer anything I can do. I'll be sure to apologize in person next time he visits and pick up his next meal.
Man, kind of saw that coming.
Yeah, man. D'Angelo Williams out here just getting caught up in a dinner story. Like, right after the Steelers game yesterday, just goes out thinking everything's going to be cool. Go enjoy my meal. Got nope, this crappy, lady wanted problems.
Yeah, crappy service. He didn't say anything.
No.
He just...
She was the one that... As you mentioned, open up that can of worms.
Yep. Didn't like the tip, the way it showed how bad she was at her job.
Man, and now she's on the unemployment line.
Oh, man.
That's crazy.
She's going to need bigger tips now.
Yeah, man, for sure.
Mornings on Alternative 103.7 KNRQ.
Filled with tons of music, news, sports, celebrities, sleaze, music news, and more.
Yep,
including these disasters with names. It's Rock and Emma in the morning.
Who else do you think it was?
Mornings on Alternative 103.7 KNRQ.
Top 10 albums in the country. Travis Scott's new album, Birds in the Trap, Sing McKnight, sold 88,000 copies in its first week. It's good enough to debut at number one on the Billboard 200. It's the fifth Apple iTunes exclusive to top the chart so far this year. And A Day to Remember's album, Bad Vibrations, debuted at number two, sold 67,000 copies. Let's see here. Drake, Views, still in there, though, at number three. Suicide Squad soundtrack, kicking ass at number four. Florida Georgia Line came in at number five. Barbara Streisand at six. And then 21 Pilots, still in the top 10 with Blurry Face at number seven. Rihanna, Beyonce, and Frank Ocean complete the top 10. Yeah. But go 21 Pilots and Suicide Squad. That is not a shocker. That is a good, good soundtrack.
Very well done.
David Bowie has found his final resting place finally. The late icon's ashes were scattered at Burning Man, an annual gathering in the Nevada desert over Labor Day weekend. Bowie's wife gave his godchild permission to take a portion of his ashes. The insider adds, as the two had a very special connection to the often spiritual event. Bowie, who passed away in January of after an 18-month battle with cancer, was honored with a small ceremony at the temple, a massive structure for Burning Man attendees to memorialize their loved ones. David Bowie's final studio recordings will be released in October on the new cast album for the Lazarus musical. Before Bowie's death in January, he recorded versions of No Plan, Killing a Little Time, and When I Met You with the Black Star Band. And until now, fans have only heard the show's cast sing them, but October 21st, Bowie's versions, produced by Bowie and his longtime collaborator Tony Visconti, will appear on the second disc of the collection, so you can have that too. It's out October 21st. It's kind of weird. In the music video, depicted Bowie on his deathbed, though it debuted before Bowie's death and before anyone knew he was diagnosed with cancer. So it's a little chilling, but
a little bit, man,
a little bit. So fun stuff now, because Noel Gallagher from Oasis is still talking. Noel Gallagher has once again challenged rumors of an Oasis reunion, and because everybody's asking.
Said, guys, you realize I don't even know the words of Champagne Supernova, right? You want to reunite?
No, he didn't touch on that.
Wonderwall?
No, he wasn't touching on that at all. Champagne Supernova. You're right. It's that and Wonderwall. They're two big ones, so yeah. But he says he would pay to see his brother reform the band without him. His latest shot is the seemingly endless bickering and drone of reunion rumors. It comes after a known associate of the band suggested that Liam would consider going back out with Noel. Now, Noel has opened up with Rolling Stone, blasting not only the stupid rumors, but also the concept that Oasis could exist in his absence, which brings me to what you said. Yeah, because they need someone out there
messing up their lyrics,
singing the wrong words. You guys want to get together, you need me. Why? So you can mess up one of the only hit we have, really?
I mean, one of two. Yeah.
So you can butcher that, because everyone just heard you do it last week, just so you know. Every day of the week, he says, people say, you'll definitely reform, you will. And I'm just like, that's so effing rude. They try to Jedi mind trick me. Yeah, that's what they're doing.
It's exactly what it is.
And then I say, Mom, leave me alone. Get out of my room.
No, I'm not going to hug and kiss Noel and Liam on cheek, Mom.
I'm not going to make up with my brother. I hate him. As for an Oasis...
Not sorry.
Without it. So I'm not sorry. I'm not saying sorry because I'm not sorry. As for an Oasis without him, Noel adds, quote, I'd effing pay to see that. Yeah, you'd be the only one. I think that's why you're not doing it. That'd be so effing interesting. We should start a rumor that I'm going to do it without Liam, and I'm going to use a hologram like they did with Tupac at Coachella. Look, to be honest, I don't need the money. Just saying that makes me feel like you might need the money.
Don't you?
Because that didn't—you didn't really need to.
Hold
add
on,
that,
we'll find out right now if he needs the money. Noel Gallagher, celebrity net worth. We'll figure out if Noel needs the money in about 2 seconds, depending on how fast I can get my chubby digits to type.
And we also don't know how much he's allowed to get to. I don't know if he has access to it.
As of March 31st, 2015, according to celebrity net worth, Noel Gallagher is worth $60 million.
That's more than what I'm worth. But
way more than I thought.
Yeah, that seems
extreme. But at the same time, we don't know how much he's allowed to touch. We should ask his mom. We'll have to get back to you on that one. Green Day has released a new lyric video for Revolution Radio, the title track off their upcoming LP. The lyrics to the song flash across the screen as faceless figures interact with the words and the other various elements in the video. I got to give it to Green Day. Even their lyric videos are entertaining, but Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio will be released on October 7th.
It's Rock and Emma in the morning.
Don't worry, the name calling is normal. It just means that they're, you know, having fun.
You wanted this, right? You wanted the real deal? That's what this is. Wake up, you're in the middle of it.
Mornings on Alternative 103.7 KNRQ.
It's the NRQ Morning Show still to come. We got your last check on news and sports. Also, the final countdown. But right now, we got a dumbass of the day.
If you've ever hit a cop car while you were driving drunk, wore an incriminating t-shirt while committing a crime, been seriously injured while trying to take a super sweet selfie that doesn't seem all that super sweet now, smuggled some form of contraband in nature's wallet, taken your drug stash to the cops for inspection, or you just happen to be a criminal from Florida, then you might be the dumbass of the day.
Apparently, this guy, not too familiar with the concept of adrenaline, a 35-year-old guy named Matthew Stewart broke into an auto shop in Kentucky last week and started to break into all the cars on the inside of the auto shop.
Free for all, woo!
First, he stole some stuff, and then he took a nap inside one of the cars. And by nap, I mean more like a good night's sleep.
Like, just straight passed out.
Yeah, man.
This is luxury interior.
Oh, this rich mahogany leather.
This is nice, guys. This
the
is nice.
Employees got there the next morning and found him sleeping in one of the cars that obviously did not belong to him. They call the cops. They come and wake Matthew up and arrest him.
It's not my fault. There's seat warmers in here. So cozy. So
it really
cozy.
Is.
It's really nice.
It's a treat.
He's tucked in right now.
And he kind of was tucked in. Like, he's wearing, like, a... looks like a scarf, like a an Old Navy scarf or something like that. You know, the fleece kind that they have. He's got that wrapped all around his face with a hoodie on. And it's just like, this dude was nice and comfortable.
Like that was his end game. Yeah. Like, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to steal some stuff, and then I'm going to take a nap.
Need that 8 hours.
Maybe just, maybe get some healthy sleep.
He's been charged with theft, criminal mischief, and an oldie but a goodie, trespassing.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
Well,
what a remedial individual this guy is.
He's like, I swear, I was just waiting for my alarm. The car alarm? Because you broke into it. I think that happened first.
I mean,
I'm
he's
not sure.
Doing the whole breaking and entering thing wrong. I thought the goal of that, and I'm no master criminal here, but I thought the goal was to be like in and out. Not in, and you know what? I'm going to take a nap.
No, I feel like he's onto something, Rock. This might work out for him.
New trend?
You know what? I do think we should probably, another great idea put out there. Your battery or your phone alarm or your wake-up alarm should be a car alarm.
Mm.
Let's see if it worked for him. I don't know.
I don't know that it did in this instance, but maybe moving forward.
Maybe that could work.
A useful app for him to download.
Maybe he was just doing some casework on that.
It really could be just some casework.
Yeah, how well that would work.
You're listening to Rockin' Emma. And we'd say thanks for tuning in, but we assume that you're not listening on purpose.
Well, this is awkward.
It's Rockin' Emma in the Morning on Alternative 103.7 KNRQ.
Welcome back to the NRQ Morning Show. I'm Rock, and that's Emma.
Good morning.
And of course, that's Coldplay, crying on a Monday morning up ahead.
Woo-hooing.
That's an adjective, I suppose.
I mean, it depends on what Coldplay song, but it's very slim difference, though.
Right?
You never know.
We still have the final countdown in front of us, but right now we've got your last check on news and sports. And KNRQ News is brought to you by Banner Bank. If someone breaks into your house and points a gun at you and your family, I guess your instincts would be to grab whatever weapon you can, even something that's totally not a weapon.
Go ahead.
A guy named John Sullivan was at home in KC, Missouri last week when a man busted into the house, pointed a gun at him. His wife and his four sons were all sleeping upstairs, and John's immediate reaction was, of course, to protect him. So he grabbed the first thing he could, which turned out to be his 30-pound, 50-inch flat-screen TV.
Well, okay, his TV.
Threw it across the room at the guy.
Wow.
Heaved it. And it worked, because the dude ran out of the house like a bitch, jumped in his car, and drove off.
What happened in there, Tommy? Guy threw his TV at me. What?
I mean, clearly, he's not stable, right?
You catch it and bring it out. We need a TV.
That's what we sent you in there for.
Dude.
The cops are trying to track him down, and the most amazing part is John didn't even destroy the TV. He said he's got a few cracks on the top of the frame, but otherwise it's in great shape, and he planned on watching football with it this last weekend.
Nice. His weapon of choice now is his TV.
Now it is got a special second job. It fights crime at night.
That's a smart TV.
Right?
I don't know what people are messing around with. They don't have a TV that fights crime or guards their house. I don't know what they're doing.
Doing life wrong. There's a dude in Chicago named Fidencio Sanchez who makes about $50 a day pushing a cart around and selling popsicles. And he's 90, still hasn't retired. Apparently, he tried to stop about 2 months ago, was going to take it easy for the rest of his years. But then his wife got sick, and unfortunately, their daughter passed away, so he needed the money.
Jeez.
The owner of a Mexican restaurant saw him out on the street last week and bought 20 popsicles just to give him the extra $50.
And he's 90 going around doing this.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Then he heard Fidencio's story and decided that his $50 contribution wasn't enough, so he started a GoFundMe page on Friday to raise $3,000, and in one day, it raised over $100,000.
Nice.
As of last night, it was up to over $130,000, which is more than Fidencio could make if he sold popsicles every day for the next 5 years.
That's rad.
So now he should be able to retire.
And now, unfortunately, you know, the fact that they lost their daughter is awful. But mm-hmm. now that they can take care of those kids, that's
well,
great.
Well, the wife's medical bills, too. So.
Oh, right. Yeah.
If you want to help out, just search for Relief for Fidencio on GoFundMe.com. And I'm ready for some sports. How about
so
yourself?
So ready.
Because coming into this weekend, sounded like a lot of NFL players would be joining Colin Kaepernick and not standing during the national anthem. But because yesterday also happened to be September 11th, it was unclear how many players would actually go through with it. It's one thing to talk the talk prior to game day. And it looks like everyone was paying tribute to the heroes and victims of the 15th anniversary of the attacks. And it turned out that the protests were not as widespread as expected. Anything yesterday.
Yeah, not the day. I think that's not the way to do it at all, but definitely not the day to do that. So.
I would concur. The Seattle Seahawks had talked like they had something special and mysterious in the works, but in the end, it was just them standing on the sidelines and joining arms as a sign of unity during the anthem, which is fine.
Totally fine with that.
It was a little overhyped, but I'll take that any day of the week.
Yeah.
They were playing Miami, and several Dolphins players did kneel. Just like Denver, the Broncos star Brandon Marshall did last Thursday. And model Kate Upton was pretty upset. Upset enough to scold the Dolphins online. She took to Instagram to let them have it.
Good.
So we'll see what happens with that again tonight. While it's not 9/11, it is still the day after. We're still a lot of people are celebrating and remembering things.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have the Monday Night Football doubleheader going on tonight, which should be pretty, I would say, interesting. Considering that we've got one of those games, the second of the doubleheader, closing out the evening, San Francisco 49ers, and they're at home.
Yeah.
Well, so we'll see what happens with that.
This is the only reason this guy is doing it, just because then all of a sudden, and I'm talking about Kaepernick, if you guys don't know, now all of a sudden people actually give a damn that his team's playing that night. You know what I mean? He's been out of the spotlight, and I think the fact that his weird fro isn't working to get any kind of attention, then this is certainly getting his name back out there, and I just think it's in the worst way possible.
We've got the Steelers and the Redskins in the first of the doubleheader this evening. Kickoff set for 4:10 p.m. our time. You'll be able to catch that on ESPN. And in closing out the initial week of Monday Night Football 2016, the Los Angeles Rams still trips me out.
Weird.
Super.
Yeah.
Taking on the San Francisco 49ers in the Bay Area at Levi Stadium. Kickoff is tentatively set for 7:20, although that could get pushed back depending on how late the Steelers-Redskins game goes.
Doubleheader, though. It's all good.
You're listening to Rock and Emma on the KNRQ Morning Show. Hey, don't worry. The name calling, that's perfectly normal. It just means that they're having fun.
Why are you so sad?
Why are you so happy, mother...
Morning.
On Alternative 103.7 KNRQ. KNRQ.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Fine. How
are
you?
I'm doing well,
you doing?
But let me just let you know right now, if you got meetings you got planned, you're going to have to wait like 20, 30 minutes. I got bears that are brewing inside of me that need to be populating a forest.
I got to go totally see my lawyer today on the third floor. So
no, I've got a meeting on the third floor. I already told Brian.
I got a meeting with my lawyer.
No.
I got to go see my lawyer. Immediately,
nah, come on, man. So that mean I got to go see the chiropractic on the second floor?
You do. You better, because my lawyer and I are having a meeting on the third floor.
Tell Boombots to just chill.
No.
That's the doctor.
Vinny Boombots is my doctor.
I apologize.
Johnny Bag of Donuts.
Bag of D's.
Is
tell him to chill.
My lawyer.
God, get it right, Rock.
Speaking of all your friends, man, I went and saw Spider pitch a great $1 million idea to him.
Did you? You went and saw Spider in Springfield?
Well, here's
you saw
the problem.
Pumpkin Spice Meth.
He just pitched it on the air, though.
Just in case people aren't aware, Spider's my buddy. He's got the Pumpkin Spice Meth Shack out there in Springfield, right off of Main Street.
Keeps it festive.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he's about to have a new pumpkin spiced item
okay,
on the menu.
All right.
Pumpkin spice condoms.
What?
Your thoughts.
Pumpkin spice prophylactics.
Rock is so proud of himself.
It's $1 million idea.
I'm completely turned off by that. Completely turned off by the idea of a condom with pumpkin spice on it. I can't imagine.
I feel like that's an idea worth lots of money
like
waiting.
You got to talk to a girl about that.
Well, that's the best part of it. He's pitching it like he can't wait to have some of this.
I don't understand what you're doing there.
When are you going to taste this?
Trying to touch some of this pumpkin spice money. That's all.
All right. Whatever.
So Al Scott won't be a customer.
Oh, hell no.
All right, I'll have to let Spider know not to place your order.
Good Lord.
I kind of made one for you without your consent.
Spider knows him pretty well, I think.
Spider knows the deal.
Because I was like, he's going to need magnums, and Spider was like, no, that's not the case. Not the case at all.
So he does know. Well, he was really proud of himself.
I was, and Al found a way to ruin that. I was like, man, this is going to be great. He's going to get on board with
this. That's just creepy to think about, that you would come up with that idea. That's creepy.
And he saved it all morning long, too.
Jesus.
Thought it was a great idea.
I appreciate the fact that you're thinking.
The NRQ Morning Show, where dreams are dashed.
Wow, man. No kidding.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes.
I was like, man, you could come out with a lambskin version, then it'll be like a pumpkin spice gyro.
Just stop. Just stop already.
All right, fine. How was your weekend? God.
My weekend.
How was the AWOL show?
My weekend was great. You know,
Stop.
We got to go to the AWOL show last night.
Yeah.
And it was up there at the Sunlight Supply Amphitheater.
How'd it go?
Which it was great. We went up there and met the winner, Lorena. She was 18. It's her first concert.
Wow.
What a way to start it off.
And she got to be the spaceman for AWOL Nation as they came out. And she did a great job. I mean, she was really nervous.
Yeah.
Even though she said she wasn't, but it could tell she was nervous. Come on.
It's a big deal.
So, you know, she got up there. We got her on stage. She got dressed up as a spaceman. She went out there. And you know how on the moon you're supposed to, like, walk slowly?
Yeah.
Right? Well, she, like, runs out there.
Awesome.
And she's like, she did a great job. She was totally awesome. And she was up there with her brother and stuff like that. And they were both really excited. It was awesome.
That's
right?
Awesome.
Great winners.
Yeah.
But she gets up there and she's like jumping up and down and stuff like that. And it's like,
you're supposed to be in space.
You're supposed to be on the moon.
You love it.
That's awesome.
Slow it down.
That's so cute.
And then, but she did a great job. As soon as the song started, she turned around and came off like she was supposed to. Got to watch the first song there from the stage.
Nice.
Didn't chirp and fall?
No.
I would have for sure.
That was a great first concert.
It was a great first concert, and she did a great job. So, Lorena, thank
Yay.
You very much.
I'm
listening.
So happy.
Thank you for winning and going.
No kidding, man.
Following
and they were there on time. They were sober.
What?
They were, I mean, it was such a just a huge flash of really great light that happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sounds like she set the bar.
Awesome. And I got to go hang out with Aaron Bruno.
Oh, nice.
And their guitar player, Zach. And we listened to some brand new stuff from Zach's band, Iron Tom.
Oh, is that the stuff that you're
pretty
supposed to love?
Pretty damn awesome, oh, actually. Really? It's not out yet, but it was pretty awesome. There's this one song called Hookers.
Oh, is that your track?
That's Al's anthem.
It's like a nursery rhyme or something like it, dude. But the subject matter is hookers, but it's so great, dude. It's such a great song.
It sounds like a lullaby, but it's all about hookers.
It's really funny.
Like the Bacon Brothers actually have that record, Hookers and Cocaine.
It's a little more subdued than that.
Okay.
But yes, it's that same sort of whimsical song with a really dark subject, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Did that.
So did that, and you know, we're backstage and stuff like that, and the rules are, I sent you these rules.
Yeah.
Don't make eye contact with Prophets of Rage. Don't talk to Prophets of Rage. Don't take any pictures of Prophets of Rage. So we get back there, right, and I'm just standing in the hallway outside the dressing room and stuff, waiting to go grab our winner and stuff like that. Chuck D comes out and goes, "Hey, how you doing?"
Can't look at you.
I can't do it.
Can't look at you.
Do not make eye contact.
I can't go. I can't talk to you, not, Chuck D.
I hope you don't get offended at all.
I got the rules. I'm not supposed to talk to you.
What's up with this guy?
Your handler spoke with me.
What's up with this weird, awkward guy out here? Staring
he's
at
lanky,
my feet.
Big for nothing. Just won't even say hello.
He was super nice.
Awesome.
Are you well? Don't look at me.
God.
Are you trying to get me in trouble?
You're breaking the rules. You're trying to get me kicked out of here, Chuck D?
Chuck D, stop. Chuck
so
D.
Gangster, that would've been awesome. Man. So gangster, Chuck D.
That's awesome.
I just said, hey, how
so
you doing?
You violated the rules?
I totally okay. did. I
right.
had to. You,
right?
Looks like Chuck D did
it
first.
I had no choice. Chuck D did it first.
Yeah, Chuck D did it first.
So, you know, but they were amazing. And Tim, the bass player for Rage,
yep.
He had his punk band do the opener. So there was three bands, actually.
Oh, nice. Sweet.
Whack Rat. And they were just, like, hardcore, just powerful, man. Just, like,
straight punk.
Peel and paint, man. It was great.
Awesome.
And then Prophets of Rage came out, and that's such a great combo.
I was going to say,
all
how
those
was
guys
that?
Were great.
Now, how well did they play together? I mean, they're so fairly
amazing.
New.
Amazing.
Okay.
They nailed it. They've been working. So they just get out there and just try and fake it. They've been working to make it right. They did
awesome.
A great job.
Yeah, they're all pros anyway. God, that sounds awesome.
It was really cool.
I'm glad you had a good time, and sounds like Lorena also had a great time.
Yes, had
so,
a great time.
Yeah, congratulations. Thanks for showing up.
What's the next big contest on the sketch?
Well, we got the Bastille wrapping up this week, and then right after that, we'll roll into a huge Fantogram trip, which is going to be going up to Seattle.
And
we'll start that next week. We're getting that all together. You'll get to go up to the Space Needle with the Fantogram folks, which I would do because the Fantogram chick, she's really cute.
No,
I would totally
three,
get,
4 years ago.
I would get in an elevator with her.
Would you?
I bet you would.
I would go all the
bust
way to the top.
Bust out that pumpkin spice condom.
I would go all the way to the top.
All right. Space Needle, wait till you see how Scott.
So,
they call me Space Needle. What? They call you what? No.
So we got that coming up next week. And don't forget, you know, tonight is a huge night for our Eugene Emeralds, by the way. It's a huge night for the Eugene Emeralds tonight as they are trying to win a championship this evening.
Yeah, tonight? Man. Reversing the curse.
Championship.
Let's go. Let's go in.
Tonight.
It's going to be big. And, like, what they're doing and what the Cubs got going on, like, I feel really strong about the Cubs making it to the World Series.
Are the Cubs huge right now? Because I don't pay attention to MLB.
The Cubs are very huge right now. They came off of that great season last year where a lot of people were not expecting them to have as deep of a postseason run as they did. And they've done nothing but continue to build on that. Their record right now, 91-51. That's pretty effing solid.
Is that solid?
Yeah. In baseball, that's really good.
Well,
2/3 of your record is wins.
Go Cubs, and tonight, go M's.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. Go M's. Right, let's reverse that curse. What you got coming up on the show today?
Well, it's Hamilton, Joe, Frank, and Reynolds Day on the show.
Got to recoup from last night.
I just got to kind of lay back a little bit, roll out the Hamilton, Joe, Frank, and Reynolds tracks.
Nice.
You know, enjoy the sun.
Take it easy, man. We got Beefcake get ready to roll in here, followed by Al. I'll get you ready for 2 hours with Matt Pinfield. He's got Steve Aoki on the show tonight. Had Korn on the show Friday. Yeah. If you missed that, 2 hours, mattpinfield.com. And me and Em will talk to you tomorrow morning on the NRQ Morning Show.
You're listening to Rock and Emma on the KNRQ Morning Show. Hey, don't worry. The name calling, that's perfectly normal. It just means that they're having fun.
What I meant was shut up.
Mornings on Alternative 103.7
KNRQ.